We're going to do the second Mishnah now on Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. And this Mishnah is going to go back to what we spoke about, the laws of Tefillah, and it's going to explain the Seder at Tefillah and how to daven on a daily basis, the Tzuras at Tefillah, Holkei Drachim, those who are on the road, how to fulfill the mitzvah of Tefillah. Ram Gamliel Omer B'chol Yom V'yom Mispal Adam Shmona Esrei. We said that according to Ram Gamliel, you have to daven on a regular basis the entire 18 brachos. Rabbi Yeshua, as we said in the last year, says Me'ein Shmona Esrei brachos. We're going to see what that means. Rabbi Yeshua says Me'ein Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Kiva says Shgura Tefilas B'fiv is Shmona Esrei Im Lav is Me'ein Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Eliezer made this comment that if somebody makes his tefillah keva, then ain't tefilaso tachnunim. And we explained that in the previous shiur. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, ha-holech b'mokum sakon mispal tefillah ketzara. And the nusach ha-tefillah is right here, encoded in the Mishnah. Yerochev al ha-chamor, l'chatchila, if all things are ideal, he should get off the chamor and daven, only in a case where it's impossible for him to get down from the chamor, then he should just look towards Yerushalayim, and he should daven towards Yerushalayim. If he cannot look towards Yerushalayim, he should have kavanas halev keneged beis kodesh hakadoshim. If he was on a ship or a raft, then yichavin eslibo keneged beis kodesh hakadoshim. The Gemara says the following: Hani shmon esrei keneged mi. What's the significance of the number 18. It couldn't be just that there was one bracha that was significant, another bracha. Each bracha in and of itself is significant. You add them together, you put them into a Shmon Esrei, a structure, they become 18. But rather, there's got to be some significance to the number 18. Amar Rav Hillel, Berei de Rav Shmuel. According to this first opinion, we'll have three different opinions. Keneged Shmon Esrei, Azkarol, Shamar David. In the Mizbar, in the Kapitel Chavtes, Mizmor David Havud Hashem, Bnei Elim, Havud Hashem, Kvod Va'oz. Over and over again, the name of Hashem appears throughout this Kapitel 18 times. And Shmon Esrei is connected these 18 Azkaros. Had the number been 21, if there were 21 brachas, we would have said it's connected the Azkaros in the Tefillin. But we don't have that option, there are only 18 brachos. So therefore it's connected this Mizmar, the number of times that this Mizmar has the name of Hashem. This Mizmar is an allusion to the Amiras HaAvos, to Gvuros, to Kedush Hashem, the first three brachos in Tefillah Shmon Esrei, as the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis. In this Mizmar, the name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, repeats itself 18 times. Rav Hill holds that connected that number of 18 askaros in this Mizmar, they established 18 brachos in tefillah. The Marsha explains that they were mesakeh in Shmon Esrei brachos in tefillas chol, and that corresponds to the 18 times the name of Hashem appears in Mizmar LeDavid, as we said in the name of Rav Hillel. And the Shema Avaya, Yudkei Vavkei, is the Shema of Rachamim, and most of the brachos in our tefillah on a chol, on a weekday, are dedicated to asking Hashem for asiyas tzrachov, to fill our needs, and we need to be mvakish with rachamim, with Hashem, yudke, vavke. Rav Yosef Omer, he has another significance to the number 18, kenegi shmona se azkaros shebekriyashma. The name of Hashem appears 18 times in kriyashma. And that includes both the name Yudke Vavke and the name Elokus. Omer Rav Tanchum, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Keneged Shmona Esrei Chulyos Shebeshidra. There are 18 Chulyos in the spine, and the Pnei Yeshua expands on this. He says they were Mesakin Shmona Esrei Brachos, and why Keneged the 18 Chulyos in the Shidra, the 18 vertebrae in the spine? Because we know that there are Ramach Evarim in a person. They correspond to Ramach Mitzvos, Asay. And therefore the Evarim that we need for Kiyum HaMitzvos, because the Ikar Asiyas HaMitzvus is in the Evarei Pnim HaMiuchadim L'Re'iya Shmiya Dibur Yadayim U'Raglayim, not so much the Atzamos in the Shidra, which are more physical, and they're not Nikar that we're using them for Asiyas HaMitzvus. We're using the more spiritual abstract senses for most mitzvahs, whether it's Dibur Shmiya, and therefore they needed to be misaking something connected the physical atzomos of a person, which are really not obviously part of the mitzvah. So how can we get the atzomos of the shidra actively involved in a mitzvah by setting up a shmonesre, which is connected those 18 vertebrae? And a person during his moments of tefillah, says the Pnei Shuri, should remember that he should be mispal b'chol kocho, and he wants to be mekayim kol atzmos like tomarno, and get his atzmos, get his bones involved, even the vertebrae that aren't always apparently involved in mitzvahs. And Rabbi Shimon Levi says, therefore, a person should bow during his tefillah ad shiyispakeku kol chulio shebeshidra. Now, why does Rabbi Yosef say, Rav Yosef Omar, which sounds like he's arguing with Rav Hillel? In the case of Rabbi Tanchum, Keneged 18 Chulia Shebeshidra, it says Omar Rabbi Tanchum, as if he's not coming to argue with Rav Hillel or Rav Yosef, he's coming to add. The answer is that it's impossible to tell us that Rav Yosef is adding on Rav Hillel, on Rabbi Hillel, because if that be the case, there's no Chiddush. If even according to Rav Hillel, where the Shmon Esrei brachos correspond to the Shmon Esrei Azkaros Vashem, Adarava, wouldn't that be more profound and more, in a sense, moving and inspiring because of the 18 Azkaros in the Mizmor LeDavid and the name Havaya, the Azkaros of Kriyat Shema, which are mentioned here by Rav Yosef? Some of them have the name Yudke Vovke, but others is the name Elohim. Therefore, we'd have to assume that Rav Yosef is arguing against Rav Hillel. It would make sense that he would sort of go down a level. But when it comes to Rabbi Tanchum, that's already a separate inyan. And that means that in addition to the Nazkaras and all the opinions that we had above, Rabbi Tanchum wants to add, let's get the vertebrae in his spinal column involved. And that's an additional reason for the number 18. Omar Rabbi Tanchum, Omar Rabbi Yeshua and Levi, Amispalil, Tzorch Shiachriya, Achis Pakaku Kol Chulio Shebeshidra. He should bow to the extent in which you can look and see on the back. If you were to look at the back, you would see that the vertebrae are protruding. It means that because of this kriya, this bowing, it should be crystal clear that he is involving all of the knots, all of the connecting points of the vertebrae of his spinal column. And we said that Rabbi Tanchum is not arguing with the previous answers about Shmona Asrei Brachos, that's connected the Azkaros of Hashem. He's adding the Chulius of Ashidra, and now we want to get the Chulius involved, and therefore she's Pakaku Kol Chulius of Ashidra. Ula Omar, Ula has a different shear. How much is a kriya? How much you have to bow during Shmon Esrei? Ad kedei sheyira isar keneged libo. In other words, there'll be two folds in his body keneged libo, and you could put an isar, a coin, in between them and the two bodies, the two parts of his, let's call it his chest, will close in and wedge in on this isar. And that's perhaps a more profound kind of kriya. However, we should mention that Tosfos back on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, in the name of the Yushalmi, pointed out that we shouldn't be korea too much, yosem midai. And the Taz explains the reason for this is because if a person exaggerates in his kriya, he looks like he's a misgoy, like he's yura, like he is more religious than the next one, more pious. Rabbi Chanina Omar, Kevan Sheninea Rosho, as long as he bows his head, Shuvei Netzor, that's all he needs for Kriya. Omar Rava, he qualifies the statement of Rab Chanina, Vahu Demitzayer Nafshe Umechse Keman Dekora. He is to some extent extending himself. He's suffering a little bit, and he has to show others that he is Korea. No one should think he's not being Korea. And basically, according to Rava, the reason why Rav Chanina lets us off easy, and he's most mekil, and all you need is lanas harosh, is because we're talking about someone who is mitzayir nafshi. It's very difficult for him to do the real bona fide kriya that we mentioned before. And therefore, we're going to let him get away with at least the minimum, where it's nikar, it's clear to others that he's doing the kriya. The Gemara now involves a discussion about Birkas Aminim LaMalshinim Al Sisikva, which was established later on by the Aseres Anshei Knesset Gdola, later than the Shmoneh Esrei Brachos. And why did they establish this special bracha called Birkas Aminim? The Gemara asks, Hani Tamne Srei, these 18 brachos that were mentioned in the Mishnah, is that really so? Is the number 18? Arei Treisrei Havi Shasrei Havi, there are 19 brachos if you add LaMalshinim. Amar Rab Levi, Birkas HaTzdukim BeYavne Teknua, this was established much later on after the Anshei Knesset Gdol had already established the Shmoneh Esrei brachos, and therefore we maintain the old name. The old name is Shmoneh Esrei 18, even though it's really 19, and because in Yavne they added a Birkas HaTzdukim. That's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Other girsos have Birkas Aminim, and it could be that ours was changed because of the censorship. And Minim is a reference perhaps to the Christians, the early Christians, and the LaMalshinim is probably a reference to the Tarbus of Yeshu HaNotzri, which is antithetical to Divrei Elokim Chayim. Keneged mi tiknua. Now we're up to Birkas HaTzdukim, and we want to give some significance to the number 8, to the number 19, because now he's jacked it up to 19. Amar Rab Levi, li Rabbi Hilbrei, the Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, who said that the number 18 corresponds to the 18 askaros of God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei Mizmor David. This bracha is keneged kel hakavod hirim. In other words, in that same capital, the name of God is mentioned as Kel, and although that's not the original 18 because we need Yudke Vavke, but Kel is also an Askar Hashem, and therefore there should be some reflection if we're using this Mizmar of the name Kel, Kel Kavod Hirim. And again, as we said before, the original Takana was Yudke Vavke, but later they added 19. The Rav Yosef, according to Rav Yosef, who says that we're talking about the Azkaras of Hashem in Kriyat Shema, is connected Echad Sheva Kriyat Shema, that the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is also like Hashem, and the Shem Havaya did not change, but the Minim tried to change it. They tried to say that Chas V'Shalom, there's another God, and there's more than Echad, so therefore our Echad is keneged the Minim, and it's keneged the Echad of Kriyat Shema. That's what we want to emphasize here, is the name, the word Echad, as opposed to the Minim, the Tzukim, who believe in more than one God. There are only 18 vertebrae in the spinal column. So what's the number 19? Keneged chuyuk tana shebishidra. Apparently, here we have to take a course in anatomy, but there are 19 vertebrae in the spine. And even though the Mishnah in Olos mentions and enumerates 248 evarim, ramachi, varmin, and adam, but nevertheless we learned that only 18 chuyus in the shudra, the Mishnah only counts the major chulios and not this one chulia ketana. Perhaps this chulia ketana has no bus or gidim on it. Tana rabbanan shimon apokoli his dish mon esrei brachos lifnei Rabbi Gamliel. I say there. And where did this happen? B'Yavne. So Shimon HaPakoli, and this Shimon HaPakoli is mentioned quite a few times in Shas. Pakoli means his job was Tzemer Geffen. He used to sell cotton, and a cotton seller is called a Pakoli. And even though it's quite clear from the Gemara in Masechet Megillah on Daf Yud Zayin that there were 120 Zkenim, amongst them some Nevi'im, who established Monesri Brochos, and we're going to see the same thing here in our Perek later on Daf Lamed Gimel, that Anshe Knesset Gedolah established the Shmonesre. So where does Shimon HaPakoli come in? He's not a member of the Anshe Knesset Gedolah. Perhaps Mitchila, originally they weren't mispalel on a particular seder. Everybody had these 19 brachos, but he could order them in any sequence that he so desired, whatever was more important to him and pressing to him at that moment. But Shimon HaPakoli organized a uniform seder of brachos that would be observed by every single Jew. It would not be relative or subjective, it would be objective for everyone. And the Gemara Megillah seems to reflect that approach. Now, Rabbi Yonah says that after they made the takana, that means 120 zkenim, they established the brachos, that at some point the seder brachos were forgotten again because they didn't have printed sidurim like we have. So Shimon HaPakoli was the one who brought back the original seder as it was established by the Anshe Knesset Gedolah. And the Gemara, quoting this Brisa, goes on, Amalem Rav Gamliel Chachamim Klum Yesh Odom Sheyodeh L'Sakein Birchas Hatzdokim and Amad Shmuel HaKoton V'Sikna. So again, Shimon HaPakoli was the one who organized the Seder, the sequence of the 18 Brachos in front of Rav Gamliel. But then Rav Gamliel says, you know what, we need a 19th Bracha, Keneged Tzdukim. Do we have one person out there in the audience of Chachamim who would step forward and volunteer to formulate an additional bracha, what we call Amal Shinim Al Si Sikva? And the one who stood forward was Shmuel HaKatan, and he established that bracha. Now let's just ask a few simple questions. Why is he called Shmuel HaKatan? And why was he the one who took it upon himself to be Mesaken Birchas Hatzdukim Lamalshinim Al Si Sikva? First of all, as far as his name is concerned, there are two explanations. One is that he was Maktin Atzmo, he was a tremendous humble person. And the second is Hayama'at Kata Mishmuel Aramasi, he was a little bit younger then Shmuel HaRamasi. So in order to distinguish him between his Shmuel and another Shmuel, we called him Shmuel HaKatan. Now we have to understand the historical background to this whole sugya. In Rav Gamliel's time, there were tremendous myriads of minim in Yisrael, and they would cause untold suffering to the Jewish people. And not only that, they tried to missionize them and to influence them to leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu, leave the mitzvah of Torah. But once they saw that this is, and because of this pressure and this widespread movement of the Minim and their power as missionaries, when Rav Gamliel became aware of that, he understood that the tzorach that we need more than any other tzorachim as a community is to somehow get rid of the Minim. So therefore he stood up with his bezdin, he established a single bracha that should be a bakasha from Hashem to destroy the Minim. And he established this bracha integrated into the fabric of tefillah so that everybody would know it, everybody would be able to recite it. And therefore the number of brachas in tefillah Shmoneh Esrei is now 19. Now let's just wonder about Rav Gamliel. He's looking for a candidate to formulate this bracha. What's so difficult about establishing a bracha, which is a klala to the minim? I can think of a nusach myself. But let's understand that all the brachas of tefillah require a matir,
And that matter is, there's a cheshbe meduyak. There's a mispar, a special number of tevos, of osios, of words and individual letters. And each one of these letters and words has a sod mufla, an amazing secret below the surface. And even if we're not Kabbalists, we have to know that such a thing exists. Through these words, we can make all sorts of combinations, and we can, most importantly, make an impact lamala, up in Shamayim. So that the bakasha, which is immediately following the bracha, shall be fulfilled. Rabbi Gamliel asked if there's someone out there, just one person, who knows how to be mesakin birchas aminim, that would have remozim to all the sodos that we need in destroying our enemies, these idols. And my Rebbe used to say that the reason for the emphasis here on Shmuel HaKatan is that anybody other than Shmuel HaKatan could be suspect of having a certain personal hatred that he holds in his heart, a grudge and an enmity to the Stokim, to the Minim. And if anyone else would be masaking this bracha, he'd be suspect of tooting his own horn, so to speak. He is playing into his own agenda. He wants to get rid of these individuals, these Malshinim, these Stokim, because he thinks he's the one to get rid of them, and we have to get rid of our enemies. But Shmuel HaKatan, you can never suspect him of having any negias here. He didn't want to glorify himself. He was not, you know, stepping on the, you know, projecting himself forward based on the failings of others. His intention in formulating this bracha was pure, was sincere, 100% sincere. Now, we said before that where did Shimon HaPakoli come into the picture? They had forgotten the original Takanas HaBrachos. Now, it would seem from the fact that at some point in history they forgot the sequence, that they weren't saying it on a regular basis. Well, how can they forget the sequence of the tefillos? You can memorize it in a week. You say it every day, three times a day. And the Rash Bates writes that Toroso shel Shmuel HaKatan ha'isa umnaso. It means that Shmuel HaKatan was totally dedicated, day and night, every moment of time that he was since his birth. He was dedicated to this umnus of Torah, Torah Subnasa, as we say. Now, I know it sounds shocking to us, but technically, according to the strict letter of the law, Torah Subnasa is parted from davening. And this we see in the Gemara in Shabbos Yud Aleph regarding Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Bar Yochai and his friends would not be mafsik from their study of Torah in order to daven. As a result of his, shall we say, preoccupation, Shimon Pakuli, in learning, he forgot his davening because he wasn't mispalel. He was like Reb Shimon ben Yochai, that aren't mafsik their limud of Torah in order to daven. And therefore it was very understandable that he would forget exactly what that sequence was. And therefore, Lashon Acheres, he became the Chazan, the Shatz, and Shchacha. He did not remember Birchas Hatzdukim, even though he himself was the author. And now we're turning to Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, V'Hishkif Ba Shtayim V'Shalosh Shos. For 2 or 3 hours, he tried to remember V'Lo Elu, and he wasn't able to remember what the Nusach HaBracha was, and they let him, the Tzibur let him stay as a Shliach Tzibur, despite this all. And there's a and now, when we say Yorid Lifnei HaTeva, I just want to mention what this concept of Yorid Lifnei HaTeva is all about, because there's a mitzvah l'spal b'mokum nomuch mima'amakim krasicha, and therefore he was Yorid Lifnei HaTeva. And in any event, they allowed him. They were all, I guess, frozen in their seats. They were all in their standing position, and they're waiting for his chazor sashatz, for him to recite the birchas aminim. So Gemara asks the kasha, my lohel luhu. I mean, after all, we have an inyan here of tirchah the tzibur of Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, a shliach tzibur shetav v'chol habrachas kulam. If he skips one of the brachas, ein malino so. We don't remove him immediately, but if he makes a mistake in Birchas Hatzdokim, whoa, that's a chashash. Mylin also, we get rid of him, and that's because Chayshid and Shem Minu, perhaps he's a min, and that's why he skipped that bracha, which is a bracha for the destruction of the minim. But now it's difficult. Why, when Shmuel HaKatan forgot the Birchas HaMinim, why didn't they remove him as a shatz, which is the law that applies in general to a shatz, that if he doesn't recite Birchas Hatzdokim, we just simply replace him with someone else? So my answer is Shani Shmuel HaKotan Deiu Tikna. If somebody else forgets this bracha of Aminim, then we have a suspicion that he probably is a min himself. But in the case of Shmuel HaKotan, there's no way that we could be choshishim as being a min. I mean, he was the one who authored the Birchas Aminim. He was the one who played the front role leader who would fight against the minim. He's not a min himself. So we say, Shona Shmuel HaKotan Shuba Atzmo Tikein Es Birchas Aminim Vein Lachshol Shema Hu Min V'Lachein Lo Hevi Ruhu. So the Gemara immediately asks, "V'nechush dilma hadarbe." Every Jew is given brachira chafshis. So why shouldn't we suspect that maybe Shmuel at some point got influenced by the minim, and that's why he couldn't recite get the words out of his mouth, the lamalshinim al sisikva, etc. Omar Abaye Gmiri. We learned this from our rabbis. Tova lo avibisha. Tov does not become evil. A tzaddik does not become a rasha. Now, at the face of it, that's an impossible, untenable statement. And the Gemara is going to ask, "But lo, are you telling me that a tzaddik cannot become a rasha?" V'aksiv, the pasuk says in Yechezkel Novi, "B'shuv tzaddik mitzidkasovi asa avel," that a tzaddik can reject his tzidkus and change his pattern, and now put himself on a course of rishus. So you see that a tzaddik can transform himself into a rasha. That's freedom of choice. And the Gemara answers, "Ahu, that pasuk is talking about a rasha meikaro, someone who from the get-go was a rasha, and then he became a tzaddik." And the pasuk seems to imply that there are situations in which he'll do tshuva. He did tshuva once, and he could do tshuva a second time around. Aval tzaddik meikaro lo. But in the case of a tzaddik from the get-go, when he came into this world, he never sinned, he hasn't become a rasha, we don't think that he's going to become a rasha. And once again, the Gemara is assuming that if you start as a tzaddik, you can't become a rasha. Well, what happened to freedom of choice? So again, let's go through the pasuk in Yechezkel, "Ubishuv tzaddik mitzid kasov yasa ovel, hahu berasha meikaro." He was a rasha from the beginning of his career. Afterwards, he did tshuva. He became a tzaddik. And then, once again, he was shav lirishaso. Such a person, we believe, will perhaps go off the path of tzidkus that he has taken upon himself. He's already has a record of after tshuva going down to the level of being a rosh. He might do it a second time around, but a tzaddik meikar has a perfect record. We can rely on him. So the Gemara says, "Is that really so?" Velo, is a tzaddik mitchiloso, will never become a rosh of a tanan. What about the mission in the second parak of Vavas? Al tamim v'yatzmach ad yom moscha, shere yochanan kohen gadol, shimesh b'kuna gdola, shmonim shono, lebasov nasa tzdoki. And again, there's a lot of literature here. How Rabbi Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, who was the Kohen Gadol for 80 years, at the end he became a tzdoki. Now, who is this Yochanan Kohen Gadol? That's a machlok shina bai v'rav amar abai, hu Yanai, hu Yochanan. This Yochanan Kohen Gadol is really Yanai HaMelech, who was responsible for wiping out Chachmi Yisrael. So when we say about this Yochanan Kohen Gadol, at the end of his life he became a tzdoki, we can really begin to appreciate why he was the one who would wipe out the Chachmi Yisrael. He became a tzdoki. Rav Amar Yanai Luchud v'Yochanan Luchud. Don't mix up the two. There's Yanai HaMelech, he was a Rosh of Eikaro. And then there was someone by the name of Yochanan Kohen Gadol who was a tzaddik Meikaro. From the get-go he was a tzaddik. So the Gemara says the following. Yehonicho, we're going to say Labai. Again, Abai was the one who held that Yochanan Kohen Gadol is Yanai HaMelech. Yanai HaMelech was a Rosh of Betchila. He was Shav Mirisho, and after 80 years of serving as Kohen Gadol, he again became a Rosh. He went back to his old ways. So that makes sense. Because then we're saying that someone who was a Rosha Meitchila Meikaro, he did Shuva, it's Gan Shayach, it's very plausible that he would go back to his original ways and he'd become a Rosha again. And that's not a stira to what we said before about Shmuel HaKotan, that we relied on him, that he didn't become a Rosha, Chas V'Shalom. Ela L'Rav, but Rav who says that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was in fact a Tzaddik Mitchiloso, and Yanai Luchud and Yochanan Luchud, and Yanai was said was a Rosh Meikar, but Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a Tzaddik Meikar. Is Kasha? We don't have the original answer to the Gemara as to how we can rely on the fact that Shmuel HaKotan was still loyal and he was against the Tzdukim. And that's because a tzaddik mitchiloso does not become a rosha. And in the case of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he was a tzaddik meikaro, and yet he became a rosha. So the only answer we could give so far is Abai's answer, that Yochanan Kohen Gadol is Yanai HaMelech, and Yanai HaMelech was a rosha mitchiloso, so he did tshuva. And after 80 years of serving as a Kohen Gadol, he went back to his old ways, to his rishus, to his denial of God. Hence, we talk about Yochanan Kohen Gadol as being 80 years old, of serving as a Kohen Gadol for 80 full years. And then he became a tzdoki at the end of his life, after 80 years of serving as a Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason for that is because if you hold like Abaye, he, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, was Yanai HaMelech, who's a Rosha Meikara. So that's the Gemara here, Bishleim. Ha-Nicha, we understand according to Abaye, who holds that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was Yanai HaMelech, who's a Rosha Vitchila. Then even though at some point he did Tshuva, it's Gan Shayach that he would go back to his original ways. And in the case of Yochanan, it was 80 years until he went back to his original ways. But as far as the Tzaddik Meikaro is concerned, we don't have to be worried. But Ela L'Rava, who says that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a Tzaddik Mitchila, so Kasha, we see from Yochanan Kohen Gadol that even though he was a Tzaddik Meikaro, nevertheless, at the end of his life, he became a tzduki. So the Gemara answers, Amulcha Rava, tzaddik meikaro nami dilma hadarbe. And now we're going to be stuck with Shmuel HaKotan. It means that according to Rava, even if he was a tzaddik from the very beginning of his life, But nevertheless, there's always a possibility he's got b'chira chofshit, that he'll change his mind and change his lifestyle. And now we have a question. When Shmuel HaKotan got stuck, he got tongue-tied, and he couldn't remember the nusach of the Birchas HaMalshinim. Amaylo Asku, why didn't they take him down? And even though he's a tzaddik mitchilos meikar, but maybe he became a rosh chas v'sholom. The Gemara answers, Shani Shmuel HaKotan di aschil ba. The din of Shmuel HaKotan is different, is unique, because aschil ba, meaning he was the one who began, or he introduced the Birchas Aminim. Another mistake that he made, I mean, again, Birchas Aminim was a great achievement, and apparently he got stuck in the middle of Birchas Aminim. He started L'Amal Shinim Al Sisikva, but when he got to Tziakar Shabbos Magir, he lost it. But once he started it, then there's no din that would allow us to have him terminate his stature as the Shatz. Diomar Rabbi Yudah Maravi Tema Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi Lo Shanu. This din, that someone who makes a mistake in Birchas Aminim, we got to get rid of him, Masalikim, is Elish Lo Hiskilba, Aval Hiskilba Gomra. Even if he's midway through his Shmon Esrei, or his Bracha, whatever that Bracha is, and he forgets the balance of it, then Halacha is Gomra. We are going to wait patiently until he finishes, concludes the Bracha. Why? Because he was hiskilba and he made a mistake in the middle. If lo hiskilba, that's one din. But in our case, hiskilba is gomra, which means that we wait for him until he finally be able to regain his composure, and he'll complete the bracha. So we have tremendous faith that the shliach tzibur will complete the bracha. And after he completes the bracha, he'll finish up his tefillah, and we're not worried about the possibility that he's a min, because there'll be somebody else accompanying him. I mean, the rest of the tzibur, so they're going to encourage him, they're going to wait for him, they're very patient. Finally, he can complete the bracha, then he'll finish his tefillah. And this is because he began the bracha. Once he began the bracha, hiskilba, we're not choshish that he's a min. He's already proven by starting the bracha that he intends to, be very strong and unyielding against the tzduki. Once he began the bracha, the Gemara says, Hanesh Sheva de Shabbos, so the seven brachas that we mispalal on Shabbos, the Shabbos davening, kineged mi nitkenu. Again, the number seven now. We had the number 18, we had a 19. Om Rabbi Chalafta ben Shaul, kineged Shiva kolos, she'omar David, in the Mizmar Kol Hashem alamoyim, that's Kapitol Choftes, and the kolos repeat themselves seven times. So we'd like to understand, what is the significance of these seven kolos? They're all on Mayim, and David HaMelech established or enacted these seven kolos on Mayim. And what is the significance of these seven kolos? So Mirtz Hashem, that's what we'll cover in the next shiur, and we'll just mention one last point. On Shabbos, we have three brachas rishonos at Shevach. We have three brachas achronos hodoya, and in the middle we have kedushas hayom, and that's the essence of the bracha of Shabbos. So all told, we have seven brachos. Now the Gemara asks, kineged mi tiknua? What is the significance of the number seven? I'm going to talk about the kolos. This is somewhat difficult, because the Gemara's question, Ikar Adin, a person should be mispalel dafka sheva brachos, because on Shabbos it was inappropriate to demand that one be mispalel the entire gamut of all the brachos. But with regard to the Shalosh Rishonos and the Shalosh Achronos, which apply not just during the week but on Shabbos itself, in one of them we should certainly mention Kedushas Hayom. Says the Pnei Yehoshua, I'm sorry, in one of them, yeah, that's what I meant to say. Just one more quick review of the Pnei Yehoshua. We got stuck a little bit in the middle prematurely, the hour is late. But the Pnei Yehoshua says the following, that if not for the number 7 as being very significant and justifying this takana of Sheva Brachos on Shabbos Keneged Sheva Kolos, then what would have been done is the following. They would have integrated the bracha of Kedushas Hayom into one of the other brachos, most probably into Birchas Avoda. And we'll see something similar on Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodeshim. And then at the end of the day, you'd end up with 6 brachos, and that would be fine. In fact, later on, the Gemara is going to talk about Rosh Hashanah davening for Musaf, and it's going to be 9 brachos. And once again, we're going to try to figure out the significance of the number. So since in the case of Tefillah Shabbos, it could have equally, just as well, it could have been 6 brachos, and we have integrated the Kedushas Hayom into Birchas Avoda, then the question is, why were the Chacham motivated to get that number 7? What's the magic, the magical significance of the number 7? And for that, we're going to have to see about David HaMelech, who recited Shiva Kolos Alamayim, that there are Shiva Kolos that were recited on the Mayim. And this is a reference to Mizmar Kol Hashem Alamayim, because the 7 Kolos that are mentioned in this Mizmar were said on Mayim. Okay, then we'll stop here. Ms. Chen, we'll finish up tomorrow.